welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Hawley's Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with an energized Tom Rackers of the News Tribune. And before Tom and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Hawley's head coach, Chris Henches.
Well, Chris, quick look back at the Kappa City game. You know, really a strong effort offensively and defensively, wasn't it?
I was really happy with the way that we played. And I thought we had a great week of practice, a physical week of practice. Anytime you're facing an option-based team like they are, there's just no other way to practice but being super physical, and I thought that really translated into being the more physical ball club last Friday night, you know, particularly defensively, our ability to stop the run, you know, be assignment sound with the quarterback and with the pitch man. And I was really happy the way we defended the sweep. I thought Tim Tharp did a great job on the edge. They tried to get out and around us and they weren't able to do it. We took away their bread and butter and forced them into things that they didn't want to do. And I thought offense was very methodical. They stopped us a few times, but I was happy with us putting some early points on the board, and I was really happy with our first two drives coming out of halftime, too, to kind of put it away.
You know, defensively, you forced four turnovers against a team that really hadn't been turning the ball over.
No, but if you think back to where they were last year at this time, I think they had like 22 turnovers, and so they had really cleaned that up, and I was happy with our ability to take it away, you know, put pressure on them and you know, get that ball back to our offense and, you know, give us good field position.
Now, tonight you're going back to the friendly environment over at Atkins Stadium. Does this game still mean, you know, the first time you played, I think it was kind of a big deal. Does it still have a big meaning, important meaning?
You know, it was very emotional the first time we played that game. And it was a competitive game. It was 28-0. It was a very competitive game. Just, I think the first time you play that game, you know, 60 years in the making, I think there was a lot of emotions. I know as coaches, particularly the coaches on our staff that played at Hawley's, were very emotional for that game. I'm not sure the players were as emotional as we were. I think it was a game that everyone was looking forward to. But now going into our fifth year playing, it's, you know, it's still a crosstown rival. It's an important game. But I wouldn't put it on that same emotional level as it was in year one. That was a very special year one game.
And just in general, what's Jeff City like this year?
Well, you know, I think they're still trying to kind of find their identity offensively. You know, it's a first-year coach, and they've gone through a lot of coaching changes over there. And, I know from experience the first year as a coach, you're trying to put in your system both offensively and defensively, and you can struggle a little bit. And we see that, but we also see a lot of bright spots, too. We see a lot of talent on the field. You know, and, you know, I'm sure this is a game they're going to be super emotional and who knows, expect everything from onside kicks to double reverses, and I think they're going to pull out all stops and, you know, we're expecting a hard, physical, emotional game over there.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that was Hawley's head coach, Chris Henches. Tom, I think we were both leaning in the direction of a Crusaders win last week. I don't think I saw a shutout coming. So 33-0 win at Cap City, that's a pretty impressive performance for the Crusaders.
Yeah, I mean, here on the podcast, I picked it 27-24 Hawley's, and I went down and watched the second half on the field. And strange enough, somebody brought that up when it was,
Always nice to have friendly reminders.
Always nice that other people are listening. Thanks. You know, it was a defensive effort. Again, I keep talking about it. One of these days it's going to sink through my head when I'm doing the picks is that defense is really, really good.
Right.
And is very capable of stopping
anybody.
Multiple offenses. I mean, you know, they held Camdenton with its five wides throwing the ball over the field, basically held their offense to two field goals.
Yeah.
Held a team, Capital City, that was averaging 280 yards plus rushing a game, held them to 82.
Right.
And off the scoreboard, and they were averaging, you know, 30-some points a game.
You're not going to see many backs better than Jalen Thomas, and he was held for, 14 carries for 29 yards.
Right. And that's one thing Chris brought up, and I don't know if it was in the part we played or not, but, you know, going into the game, he was talking about how important it was to stop all three phases, the dive, and then the quarterback option, and then the third phase when he gets out. And they did a great job in all three phases.
Yeah.
Did not allow them, you know, with the exception of, I think, one Isaiah Franklin run, didn't allow them to get outside at all either. And it was I'm sure it was a frustrating night for Capital City, but, you know, Elias just played really well and I think kind of established itself as you know, not only, you know, the favorite to win Class District 5, which we'll talk about.
Right. We'll get to that later on. Yeah. But yeah, that I just think that whenever you know somebody's good at something and you're able to take that away, that is just so demoralizing where you go, okay, you know, and it may not even just necessarily play out this week. It's something that's going to be in the back of Cap City's head if these two meet again later on at districts, like you're saying.
Yeah, it would not surprise me that you know, I think it's safe to say Helias thinks that they will play again for the district title. And I talked to Joe Collier after the game, Cap City coach, and he thinks they're going to play for the district title again, too.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a really, really good defensive effort. And, you know, the way they I kind of figured they'd slow them down a little bit, but, you know, they would give up a big play or two. Well, they never even gave up a big play.
Right.
So it was...
Let alone the or two.
Yeah, let alone or two. Thanks. So it was... Yeah, thanks, you were on the sideline, weren't you? And so it's... You know, it was a great defensive effort.
Yeah.
I can keep saying that, but it's true.
Yeah. So the end result is it gets the Crusaders to 5-1 overall, 4-1 in the CMAC. Yet another big game coming up this week. They play at Jeff City this week. Jays come in 2-4, 1-4, coming off a really hard loss last week, gave up a lot of points to Hickman, lost 49-35.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about this, you and I, in the past. We've been doing this for a while and truly never thought, I'm sure people are going to get tired of hearing this too, we never thought we'd see this game.
Right.
Well, now it's the fifth edition of the game we thought we'd never see it. So it's becoming a little more regular.
Sure.
You know? I think it's kind of losing that new car smell a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's still
still a big game.
It's still a big game. Yeah. You know, and that's something that Chris brought up, and it's in the preview that's going to be in today's paper, bringing that up. You know, he said that first game, he thought, you know, Helias has a lot of ex-players on its coaching staff. He said, I think we were more excited about playing the game than the players were. They kind of looked around going, what is this all about?
Right.
You know, but they went out and won the game and you know, haven't lost to him yet. They're 4-0 going into tonight against them. And he said, this is a big game. This is a crosstown game. This game will win us another city championship.
Yep.
It is very important to us.
Right.
We are going to have to play well to get that win.
Yeah, it's important that you bring that up because I don't think that, you know, back in the good old days of however many years ago when we didn't have this game, I don't think we ever thought it would be quite this lopsided as a series. I mean, it's still only four games old, but I don't think we would have thought we would have had a four-game streak to start this. So I think it's not maybe necessarily any extra pressure, but I do think it's one of those things that Helias wants to probably continue that unbeaten streak against the Jays for as long as possible.
Right, you know, you truly have to, you know, Chris talked about, you know, Eric Thomas, you know, the new Jays coach.
Right.
Chris has come and played and two stints as Helias coach, and both times had to kind of reinstall a little bit of an offense, a little bit of a defense, and he says, I know what Eric's going through.
Yeah.
You know, it's just tough to get something done that first year.
Sure.
You know, you're trying to change a bunch of things and get things going, and he says, I feel for him because, you know, he's been through it and is sympathetic. And, you know, Is Coach Thomas the one that can get the program going back in the direction to where, you know, this series in theory could very well be competitive / turn in the Jays' favor?
Right.
Maybe. We don't know. But, you know, right now I think it's Helias is obviously the favorite. And years ago, yes, you're right. Jeff City would have dominated the series against them a lot of years. But, you know, right now this is just Helias' time.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing for the Jays just has to be the amount of points they're allowing this year. I mean, if you look at the numbers are kind of staggering. It works out to an average of 44 allowed per game. I mean, there's a game in the 60s, there's one in the 50s, and one a couple in the 40s. So it's been a bugaboo where it's like, yes, they're still scoring decently enough, but not enough to offset a defense that's giving up points.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and Helias, you know, honestly has had problems in the last few weeks at times getting things done offensively. You
right.
know, is this a get-right game for
them?
You know, you look, you take away some of those things that happened in the third quarter for Helias. You know, a 65-yard touchdown pass to Logan Hillman from Austin Weaver. It was, all right, you've been waiting for that all year.
Right.
Is that the thing that's going to get, you know, the deep passing game going, which it could?
Mm-hmm.
Except, you know, Chris said the best part of the Jays' defense is the secondary.
Okay.
So, you know, not to, but
right.
it's just one of those things, you're looking for a spark. And, you know, we talk about the defense a lot, but, you know, the offense is still got still has room to make progress, and they've got three regular season games to get that done still.
Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit from the standpoint of, you know, we like to divide things up into thirds, and now we're into that third of the regular season. I think it gets you know, again, I think the Jays game will be tough just because of these two schools. But I think, you know, this is kind of a nice final third of the season to one kind of, you know, finish the things that you've been trying to maybe install or fine-tune the things that you've been trying to fine-tune, the things that you've been trying to get right. This will be a nice stretch when you talk about at Jeff City against Smith Cotton and then against Lift for Life Academy. Those are going to be games where I think you go, okay, this is a nice stretch to get things rolling once the postseason gets here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Smith Cotton, well, you know, we talked about Jay. Smith Cotton is getting better.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that's necessarily going to be another pushover, but again, Hawaii should win that game. Lift for Life is an ideal game for what Hawaii is looking for in Week 9. It's a game that they probably should win, but it's against a quality opponent who's going to push them in Week 9 because right now, the way it looks in that 17 district, they're going to get a bye in Week 10.
Right.
So they want to have a chance to kind of work against a very good opponent that last week to try to see what they still need to improve on.
Yeah. You stole my thunder a little bit there from the standpoint of I was going to talk about district next, where it looks like Helias is comfortably in that one spot in that 17 district. Like you say, it's probably going to be, you know, a bye in the first week, and then it's just a matter of how does things shake out for everybody else the rest of the way. But kind of like you alluded to earlier as well, it's kind of setting things up where if things play out, it's you know, first round bye, and then, you know, a district final rematch with Cap City again.
Yeah, you don't want to say they've already won it, but they've already won it. But, you know, because they're 7 points up on number 2 Capital City. They're a bundle up on number 3 Camdenton.
Right.
And they have head-to-head over
both of those, yeah.
So it's, you know, they're going to be the district's the champ, and they're going to have that Week 10 off. And, you know, that's why I think these next 3 games starting tonight are important, because there's still things to work on. There's still chances for players to earn more playing time. And, and I think you really still have things to do the last third of the season.
And how is the overall health of the team as we head into that third of the regular season?
It's a little frustrating right now for Helias. Alex Marbury, senior captain, safety, starting running back, will miss tonight with a little bit of an injury. I think it may be one of those things that he could have played if they really needed him to play, but they're going to sit him to be on the safe side because, again, there's bigger things down the road than this game,
right,
and they don't want to take the chance of getting hurt. Now, the plus is you've got a C.J. Howell who can come in and fill that spot at running back and kickoff returner, and Brady Fan, who's done a good job of running back, Ben Lanigan, who runs like his hair is on fire when he gets a chance. So they've got guys at running back that can play.
Okay.
There's a little bit of illness going through the team, but I don't know it. You know, I think it was worse last week than it was this week.
Okay.
So I think Marbury really is the only one who's not going to be there. And another thing of note, going into tonight, Nick Calvaruso has 142 career extra points as a junior.
Okay.
That is tied for the school record, career record, with his brother Vito and Taylor Heisland from back in 2007-2009. So one more, and he'll hold a school record, and he'll have a whole basically rest of this season and all next year, and that thing may never be touched again.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, that gets us to the prediction point. I'll just ask you, do the Crusaders improve to 5-0 against the Jays all time?
Yes, how's that for a prediction?
All right. Yeah, spread.
I'm not predicting a 5-0 final. That would be weird. I think, you know, Helias has respect for what the Jays do multiple things on offense, and they know they have to be ready for everything. They really like Kendrick Johnson for the Jays, think he's an outstanding, explosive player. I think they may get 7, but I think the Helias offense is going to maybe have a get-right game. I'm going to say Helias 49, Jeff City 7.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter at TJRackers. Thanks for listening.